Hey, Julie, could you guys do another overhead for me? While they're getting that ready, turn to Mark, the second chapter, if you would, please. I'm going to be reading from there shortly. And by the way, good morning to all of you. Good morning to the church. God bless all of you. I hope and pray. As I've been saying, and I sound as a broken record, I know I do, but I don't know. I just keep it impressed upon my heart. Come to church to have church. Amen. Don't come to endure church. Come to have it. Come to be blessed. Come to be, you know, come with your heart on fire to serve God. And I'll tell you, if you do that, you'll not be disappointed. You really won't. You will not be disappointed. It's going to be Mark 2:17, if you don't mind. If you can, stand in honor of God's word. I need him this morning. Amen. And I'm just telling you, if you're honest with yourself, everyone in here needs him this morning. Mark 2:17, and it says this. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here before this congregation this morning. Father, I praise and I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. You are such a good God. You're such a good God to us, Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for the church. We thank you, Father, for their neighbors, for all those around us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all the Christians that we've come in contact with down through the years. And we praise you for all that you've blessed us with our families and everything else, Lord. But, Father, we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, this morning. We want to praise you for him, for what he's done for us, Lord. And we'll give you the praise for it all in Jesus' name we ask, and amen. And you may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. I feel I've got a good physician that I go to, a good worldly, Dr. Spakowski. I'll just name him out. I don't know if anybody else, I know there's a few others in here that go to Dr. Spakowski, but I think I've got a real good physician. He's one of those type of guys, he's one of those type of doctors that will listen to you, will sit and talk to you, and he will, I can go on and on and on. But I want to tell you something this morning. As good as Dr. Spy is, we have a great physician this morning. I've heard that said down through the years, and I'm telling you here this morning, and that's what I want to preach on this morning. We have a great physician, not just a good one. We have a great physician. I don't know if anybody in here has ever had a hip replacement. I don't know. I don't know anybody's medical things going on here before. I heard a Christian doctor give a testimony here a while back, and he talked about having a hip replacement. And he specialized in this. And he gave a very simple explanation. This is just very simple. This is what he said. This is what his testimony was. He said, first off, he said, you open up the area where the infected hip, where the hip is that you're going to replace. Then he said, you take a reamer. And he said, you ream out the socket. Now, bear with me on this. I know this. He said, you ream out that socket. And he said, you take that socket out of there. He said, then you take a sawawl. He said, basically, it's a sawawl. And maybe you know what a sawawl is. He said, and you cut the top of the femur off. He said, then you take a drill. And he said, you drill a 4-inch hole down through that femur, the 4 inches down. He said, then you take a rod, and he said, you drive it down in that femur. He said, then you put what is basically a cue ball on top of that. He said, then you stick those two together. I mean, there's more to it than that. You all know that. But he said that's just a very simple explanation of it. But he said what got me was, he said this. He said that, the doctor said at the end of it, he said, what I done, he said, I can't heal nobody. He said, it's up to God then. He said, I do my part. I try to get it lined up right. I try to do all those things. He said, I do all those things. He said, I do my part. But he said, I cannot heal anybody. That's what this doctor, that's what this surgeon said. And I thought, when I was listening to that, don't you love the humility in something like that? Don't you just love that? Especially coming from a doctor? Sometimes doctors think that they're the ones that do the healing. You know what? God does the healing. He's the one that does it. That doctor, he was a doctor who understands the scripture that says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I'm here to tell you this morning, we have a great physician. Absolutely, we do. Do you know, as I was studying for this, that there's over 30,000 diseases in the world? Anybody know that? 30,000. And there's more of them coming online every day. And also, did you know that 95% of the people at some time in their life will have one of these diseases? Did you know that? I didn't know that until I started looking for this. And also, you know, and if I would ask the church here this morning to raise your hand, if I'd ask you because you may have some kind of disease or some kind of something going on mentally in your life today, if I was to ask you, I could almost guarantee you that sometime in your life, all of you would raise your hands. Because we all, at some times in our lives, I'll be honest with you, most of you know this, it's in here. I have Graves' disease. And it's an autoimmune disease, which I've had for years. And there's no curing it. It's just that I deal with it. But I'm just here to tell you this morning, listen, you, all of us have done it. And listen, if you're honest, and you may be thinking to yourself, why does it seem that so many people are sick all the time? Well, when there's so many diseases, that's why. I listened to the prayer request here this morning. I heard people asking for prayers for cancer. I heard people asking for prayers for their family, for autoimmune diseases. And I could go on and on and on. I heard people asking for prayer. It's because there are a lot of different diseases in the world. That's why people are asked about to pray for these people. And man will try to explain it away. Now, this man will try to, they'll say it's the environment, they'll say it's the food, they'll say it's the lifestyle, they'll say it's a lack of health care, they'll say it's hereditary, and on and on and on. And may I say, I'm not going to take anything away from that. This can all play a part in it. I understand all that. But the main reason that there is sickness and disease in this world is because there is sin in this world. Absolutely. That's why there is sickness and sin in this world. That's why. Listen, it entered in years ago, whenever the fall happened into the garden. You can say whatever, and it is just getting progressively worse down through the years. But that is why we deal with sickness and disease and mental issues in our life down through the year. It's because of what has happened, and that's because there is sin in the world. Romans 5:12 says this, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now, I say this to you, I've said this to this church before, but in case you haven't heard it, now I just want you to ever, all of you to understand this. All of us were sinners at one time. There's not one individual in here that was not a sinner at one time in their lives. But thanks be to God that His Son made a way that we could get out of that. Amen? Genesis 3:17 tells us, and unto Adam He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I have commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow thou shalt eat of it, all the days of your life. You do know that not only was the ground cursed, but eventually murder came on the scene not too long after this. We know that. We also know that death and sickness has come upon the earth. And ultimately death is the end game, has come upon the earth because sin entered into this world. I know it sounds like it's pretty simple, but brothers, that's why we are what we are today. That's why things are like they are today. You see cancer, you think cancer is on the rise. You see all these other things that are going on out there today. Put it at the feet to where it needs to be laid at. It is not God's fault. It is not His fault. It was laid out there because there was sin many years ago. Listen, if the events in Genesis 3 had not have happened, can I tell you something? Adam and Eve would have still been alive today. I don't believe God intended them to live just 80 or 90 years like we do. I believe He intended them when He made them to live forever. And do you understand this? I want you to understand. You may find this hard to believe. But when God created human beings, they were intended to live forever. Did you know that? Absolutely. They were intended to live as beings like we are forever. But sin entered into the world. Sin entered into this picture. And now that's not the case. Adam lived, well, how many, you can answer back. How many years did Adam live? 930, right? Yeah. Seth lived to be 912. What did Methuselah live to be? Yeah. Poor Lamech, he only lived 770 years. He died in his prime. And listen, he was a young whippersnapper, so to say. I'm just here to tell you this morning, and I'm going to get to a point. I believe sicknesses in this world is a direct result of sin that is in this world. Listen, and the reason there is so much sickness, the reason there is so much disease in this world today, and more coming to fruition every day, is because we live in a sin-cursed world. I want to get that point across. That is the reason why. But there is hope. There is hope. Hope for us. 1 Peter 2:24 says it like this. Who in His own self bore our sins on this world, bore His own on the body on His tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. By whose stripes you were healed. I want to get that right. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you go back and read it in Isaiah, by whose stripes we will be healed by. Who are we talking about? Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus Christ. James 5:13 and 16. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sin, they shall be forgiven of him. If you confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye be healed, the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Now I'm going to be clear with you right here this morning, so look right up here and just understand this. Let me be very clear. Just because someone is sick does not mean that they are a sinner. Amen. I've known a lot of Christian people down through the years that have gotten sick. Amen. Sometimes good Christian folks get sick. They absolutely do, and they're not living in sin. I would not say that whatsoever. They're not living in sin. That's not it. My point is this. If an individual is dealing with sickness, it is because we live in a broken, fallen, sin-cursed world. It's not because that person is a sinner all the time. So let's get that straight. We see babies being born with sicknesses and illnesses, don't we? Have they ever had opportunity to do anything? No. No, we live in a sin-cursed world. Absolutely. I've seen young children that have died of cancer at ages 5 and 4 years old. Have they? No. No. It's because we have such a profoundly and broken, sinful world is why things are the way they are today. And you and I are not totally ignorant of this fact. And I want to say this out here too, that there are times we can connect the dots that if you live a sinful life, yes, it can lead to sicknesses in your life. We understand that. Sometimes things are self-inflicted. Absolutely they are. And if someone has been a chain smoker for 40 years, and they end up having having some kind of lung disease, you can connect the dots, amen? I'm not here to bring that up, but it still all comes back to the simple fact that we live in this world and this world is sin cursed. Christians, what part do we play in all this? And I want to get to this right now. What do we play in this? Where does this lead us to? We are to do as the Word of God tells us to do. We are to, in faith believing, lay hands on the sick, and we are to pray for the recovery. But can I tell you, just like that doctor said, we are to pray for their recovery, but God is the one that ultimately has to do the healing. You agree with that? You do your part. You leave the result up to God. Too many times we get discouraged. Too many times. Listen, over in Mark, I want to read this scripture over in Mark 9th chapter, 14 through 29. I'm going to read all these scriptures. And you know this story. It's over in Mark. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning them. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what questions ye have with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft time it has cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on him and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So this is where it gets interesting. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help mine thine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto them, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and come out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come up into his house, the disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And this is Jesus answering. He said unto them, this kind cometh forth nothing but prayer and fasting. Amen. Folks, there are times this preacher, I need my unbelief helped. How about you? We are to pray for the things that for the prayers in our life, and we are to pray in faith believing. We're not to pray thinking, Lord, if you do it, we can do it. No, we're supposed to pray in faith believing. That's how we're supposed to pray. If you got that kind of an attitude, you need to be like the disciples and say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me my unbelief. There are times in all of our lives we've prayed for things that didn't turn out the way that we wanted them to, right? There have been things in my life that I have prayed for that didn't turn out the way that Dave Long wanted it. I'm going to tell you a little story about a preacher that I heard tell a story here a while back, and I thought this was very compelling. He talked about a young woman who was dying of cancer, and she was like 25 years old. And he said he hadn't been a preacher at this church. He said he'd been there for a while, but anyway, he said, so they set up the last week of her life, last couple weeks of her life. They prayed around the clock for her. They had one person sup with this woman for 1 hour for 2 weeks, everybody out of the church, and pray that the Lord would heal her. That the Lord would heal her. He said that after that 2 weeks was up, she passed anyway. She went ahead and she passed anyway. And he said this, and I thought this, because the story goes on, he said he thought this was quite remarkable. He said, now did that make my faith go any less? He said, no. And it shouldn't yours either. Amen? You've done what you should do. You prayed in faith, believing that the Lord would heal her. He said, you pray in faith, believing that the Lord will answer your prayers. But if it doesn't happen, it should not make your faith be any weaker. He said, this preacher said, now you go a few years later. He said he had a brother that had cancer, 52 years old, had a 7-year-old son. He said he prayed for him for 2 years, and his brother died. He said, did you think that made my faith waver? He said, not a bit. He said, not a bit. And you're thinking back, well, how could that be? He said, because I know that my God is in control. He is in control of this thing. He said, I've done my part. I prayed from the moment I found out my brother got cancer until he died that God would heal him. I did my part. He said, it was up to God then. Then he told this story. He said, there were two women in our church. He said, both of them were crippled. He said that one night, he said they started praying for this one lady. And he said, absolutely made her feet straight. He said, I'm here to tell you, she walked and she ran through that church. And she couldn't even do that before. And this is even the more amazing part of the story. There was another younger girl that was in that church that same night. And she had a foot that was crippled as well. And he said, God healed her same time. He said, we weren't even praying for her. We didn't even know it until after church was over. He said, her mom brought her to me afterwards. I'm here to tell you, you pray in faith believing. I'm up here to tell you this morning, you have to pray in faith believing. And then let God do the work. And if it doesn't end up the way that you'd want it, you need to keep on keeping on. Listen, brothers, folks, all we need to do, Lord, help me with my unbelief. There are times, and I'm going to be honest with you, there are times I'm praying for something, and I'm believing in the back of my mind, Patty, yeah, this ain't going to happen. I'm sitting here telling you, this preacher's being honest with you. Now, is that praying in faith believing? Absolutely not. I've got to get on my knees when I pray and say, Lord, I'm believing you're taking care of this. At the end of the day, none of us should base our faith on past experiences. I want to hear tell you, because you know, if I base my faith on what I believed in the past, I could never see nothing done in the future. And I'm here today to tell you, I believe God's still in the healing business. I believe God's still in the saving business. I believe God is still in the business of taking care of those that are addicted. I believe God is still in the business of taking care of those that have mental issues. And if I do not believe that, I might as well close that Bible up and go out the door, because I'm not praying in faith believing. I believe He is. When we pray for healing for ourselves or for someone else, we have to truly believe God will work. And the prayer of faith shall do what? It shall save the sick. And the Lord shall rise them up. And if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven by Him. That's two different things there. But I'm here to tell you, pray in faith believing. We base our faith on the Word of God. We don't base it on past experiences where God has said no maybe in our lives. We can't base it on that. We have to base it on, Lord, I'm believing you right now, God. I'm believing that you are going to take care of this situation right now. Does it mean, if you leave the results up to God and it doesn't happen, does it mean you're a bad Christian? Look at me right in the eyes. Absolutely not. It doesn't mean that you failed God. It doesn't mean that you've done all that. Have you ever heard that God answers all prayers? They may be no, but God answers all prayers. And they may be no, but listen, it does not stop us from praying in faith believing. Does not mean that at all. And I don't want that to come across like that this morning, because sometimes when preachers preach this, they make it sound like it's your fault. I'm not saying that it's nobody's fault. What I'm saying is, what I'm trying to get across here today is, in this sin-cursed world that we live in, we have got to pray in faith, believing, and let the chips fall where they may, because God is able to take care of things. All of us that have been Christians for years have prayers answered, have had prayers answered. I'm here to tell you, yes, I've had some prayers that have not been answered, but brothers, I've had a lot of prayers that have been answered. And it's not been little things. It's not been little things whatsoever. There have been times when he has answered no to me as well. How did it make you feel? I hope your faith has got stronger. I hope you believe God more if in the no's as well as the yes's. Some people think that we just increase our faith because of whenever he does something for us. We do. Don't get me wrong. It makes us want to go on. But I hope and pray that your faith gets encouraged and goes on even when in the no comes around sometimes. Folks, Jesus died on the cross. Now listen to this. Not only to take our sins away, but to heal our bodies as well. Absolutely. The main thing is he died on that cross to save sinners. But I want you to understand, he also died on that cross to heal us. Jesus is the great physician. Dr. Spy, Dolores, may be a good doctor. Jesus is the great physician. Amen? He is. I believe if you need healing for your soul, Jesus can do it. I believe if you have sickness in your body, Jesus can take care of that. I believe that if you are addicted and on drugs, I believe Jesus can take care of that. And I believe if you're dealing with mental issues, depression, and things like that, I still believe Jesus could handle that. I do, because we do serve the great physician. Absolutely. Absolutely. Belinda, if you come get a song here this morning. I hope and pray that I got the point across this morning the way that I intended it to. I hope so. I don't want you to think that I'm somebody up here standing just trying to point to everybody out there and saying how wrong you are, because that's not my whole point. My point is, I deal with whatever God deals with me on. And I know that I have felt in my life there's times that I didn't pray in faith believing, Ken. I didn't do it. I prayed, but like I said, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, well, Lord, you ain't going to do this. You just ain't going to handle this. And I've got up out of there, wherever it may have been, and I walked away there defeated because I didn't pray in faith believing. And I hope and pray that you're not like that this morning. I hope and pray that you're not like me. I hope and pray that God is dealing with you and you pray in faith believing that God can handle stuff in your life and in your family's life this morning. Go ahead.